Welcome to Hammer Don, the number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I'm your host, Tone Diggs, joined as always by Gumpy, and then I'm also joined by the host of the GM Shuffle Pod, the Lombardi Line, writes for The Athletic. What else do you do, Michael?
The Daily Coach.
The Daily Coach. Correct.
That's really about it. That's all.
And also no big deal, former NFL GM. So welcome to the show, everyone. We are back after another winning weekend. Michael, congratulations on your 2-1. Your loser was the Eagles, correct?
Correct, yeah. Congratulations to you, too. You had another good week, too.
So I was 2-1 with
only
the...
Only bet as much as you want to win. I think, listen to this, and only bet as much as you want to win.
Correct. I was 2-1 with the Colts and Giants. I lost the Cowboys, which I knew, Michael, that I was screwed when the line took off on Sunday morning. I knew that the Cowboys pick was probably going to be a loser.
You know, it's funny. That line started Sunday morning, like really early, when the two tackles for the Cowboys were out. We knew the one tackle was out. And then Tyron Smith is out. So now you got two college free agents basically playing in the offensive line for the Cowboys. And that line just started going crazy. I don't know if it was sharp money betting heavy on it, but that thing just took off. And, you know, that and the Tennessee-Jacksonville line were two lines that were moving like crazy. The Colt line was the interesting one. The Colt line was taking a ton of Viking money but never moved.
Yes, yeah, it did. And that's because I believe the books knew exactly what was going to go happen in that situation. Gumpy, you went 3-1, correct?
You got it, pal.
What was your loser?
My Cowboys as well, yeah.
Well, Michael, the good news is, and what I wanted to kind of talk about here is, I assume the books got crushed, because depending on where you had the Eagles-Rams game, all the other favorites won outright.
Right.
So if you took favorites in a teaser, or if you took if you did a lot of money line parlays with the favorites, I assume the books got crushed. I know you were at the Borgata. Did you talk to them at all about situations like that?
They got killed. I mean, he had a chance. I mean, they might try to get Anthony Lynn. I mean, they had a chance to really kill a ton of teasers, like with the Chargers. You know, the Chargers score a touchdown down there instead of running two direct runs. Yeah, and the Eagle money, which typically the Borgata in Atlantic City usually, you know, makes a ton on when the Eagles don't cover or win outright, and it was 50-50 split on the Eagle-Ram money.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. Sometimes you know your bets are off?
Yeah.
Well, that one I knew when I heard. When he told me that, I knew I was in trouble there.
Well, the Eagles fans, they know their team better than anyone else. They probably knew that they were terrible, and that's probably why there was only 50% of the money on the Eagles.
Well, I mean, what I said on, you know, I talked about this on my pod, and I talk about it a lot. Eagles are 19-18 now since the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They're one game over 500, and 8 of those wins have come against the Redskins and Giants, or the Washington team and the Giants.
Yeah. Michael, I may have lost the Cowboys bet, but that epic comeback did. I did have a 12-team teaser that hit, and I did make $6,000 this weekend off of that. So I did make up a little bit for what I lost last weekend.
Had a bit.
Well done. Well done.
I'm normally not a teaser guy, but you know, every once in a while you'll just throw one in there for fun.
Gotta do it.
You gotta love it. I mean, did Pat explain to anybody how that kid kicked the ball and went like that? Like, I don't understand how that happened. I've never seen that in my career.
Pat did say he was gonna come in. He had to run to the bathroom real quick, but I guess he said if you kick the certain side of the ball, it's always gonna start fishtailing or have a little bit of English to that side. So the people who thought that was never gonna make it, the kicker probably did have an idea that it was going to spin that way and eventually make it over there. But the Falcons had 8 yards to be able to jump on top of that thing.
Right, and that, had he kicked it to the Falcons sideline, the Falcons coaches would have screamed, jump on the ball, jump on the ball. He kicked it to the Cowboys sideline, which was actually the smart play. Nobody said a word.
1,000%, Gumby.
Yeah, Mike, who do you think's most to blame for what's going on with the Eagles? The coaching, Wentz, or what's your thought on that?
You know, they haven't been the same since Frank Wright left. I mean, look at Wentz's numbers. Yep. Look at their offensive numbers since Wentz left. They draft a backup quarterback in the second round. Does that team look like it doesn't have more needs than that? You know, I think it's a combination. I think they've had, I said this on my pod, I think they're kind of intoxicated by their success 2 years ago, and they haven't really repaired their team. They're an old team, too. All their good players are old.
Yeah, they are. Michael, let's move on to the game last night, place it used to be in New England. What did you think about that game?
My first reaction was, how can Cam Newton be a free agent for so long?
Yes.
I mean, like, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks. He wasn't better than Drew Locke. He's not better than Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game last night had two great quarterbacks playing. I mean, Russell Wilson was just wow. That was a wow. Yes. Some of those throws he made were just Russell Wilson wow throws. And I thought Cam was as good as ever. I thought Cam looked like the Cam of old. Now, they've got to get better. I think New England's got to get better on defense. And I think they need a better run game to help Cam. But I mean, the New England's never great in September, never. No. And that was a pretty good idea of where they're going to be in later in the year once they get that offense going.
Yeah, you look at teams like the Niners and Broncos with injured quarterbacks. I think they thought that Cam would still be around right now, and they could just pick him up.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos went all in on Drew Locke. You know, and maybe it was the right thing to do because you had to give the guy, but it was so tempting. I mean, Cam's sitting out there. Like, why wouldn't you just sign him?
Michael, does the – now after giving up almost 400 yards to Matt Ryan and Cam Newton, does the Seattle defense worry you at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, they could talk all they want about how Jamal Adams does this. And I mean, people are not scared at all at throwing the ball on Seattle. They can't rush, you know, and – they can't cover. I mean, that's why Russell Wilson has to play the way he does. I mean, when New England watches the tape today, which I did this morning, they gave up. You can't get the ball thrown over your head. Uh-huh. That's one. Two, you got to force more than seven third downs in a game. And when you only force seven third downs in a game, that tells you you've given up too many big plays. Mm-hmm. They scored 35 points. They didn't make them win the game in the red zone. When you look back at Atlanta, and say whatever you want about the kick and all that, Atlanta lost that game because of their red zone offense. Yep. They didn't score. What they were kicking field goals when they had to. Uh-oh, here comes the man.
Yeah, Pat, he wants you to explain about the onside kick. Like, did he know it was going to spin that way?
Yeah. So whenever you kick a ball like that, you know it's going to turn. If you kick it either side, you kick it this way, it's going to bend towards. Who was playing the Bucks yesterday?
The Panthers,
they tried it as well. Sly hit one of those ones, but he hit it too hard and it skidded across the top. The thing about that is you have to hit it slow so you can really let it cook. But my favorite part of that whole thing is the Atlanta Falcons have no idea if you can jump on that ball. You know what I mean? I think, and I didn't think about this until Hasselbeck talked to me. I don't think they thought the ball was going to make it 10 yards. So they were like, let's just let this thing die out, which makes it an even better kick by old GZ Donner.
That's what I thought. I thought they didn't think it was ever going to get to 10. So they were like a baseball that they thought was going to go foul, and they didn't even touch it.
And Lombardi had the point that if they would have kicked it towards the Falcon sideline, the coaches probably would have been yelling.
Get out. You always kick an onside kick towards your bench. Always. It's kind of the move.
Helps with the refs, too.
Hell yeah. Hey, just real quick before we get any further, I had to take a shit in a phone call. What is this? Box got crushed. Who's the box? Is that a team?
That is 100% my fault.
Oh, man.
Yeah, don't. That's my fault. I'm sorry. I'll be better next time.
Mitt, I proofread that earlier, too, and it was books earlier.
Yeah. Did the books lose this weekend?
Well, yeah, because so, like I said, I told the Eagles and the Rams, at one point the Rams were the favorite, at one point the Eagles were the favorite. So besides that game, every other game, the favorite won outright. Not so good. And all these money line parlays, and he was telling me when he was at the Borgata in Jersey that they got crushed because of all that.
Anybody ever talk about Billy Walter loving the Eagles this weekend?
No, I couldn't find out who Billy was on.
Nah.
I was guessing where he was. I couldn't find out where he was on. He probably might have been on that Atlanta thing. Because, I mean, who else can make a line move like that? Seriously, I mean, that line moved Sunday morning like I've never seen one. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it went from what, 4.5 to 2.5? Was that your dog?
It started at 6. It started at 6.5.
Oh, yeah, earlier in the week.
It went all the way down. It just kept sliding down. It was amazing. I thought I'm disappointed in how Philly played, even though I don't think Philly's a good team. The Rams played well. So, you know, I'll take my two wins and go home with the one loss.
Wow. Me too, by the way. Chiefs. I can't believe the Chiefs didn't cover against that Chargers team. I had no idea that they played Patrick Mahomes that tough every single time.
If Tyrod plays, they don't cover.
Bingo.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you got screwed by the other guy coming in. I really do. And you know, they finally got their rhythm once they got worn down. I mean, Anthony Lynn on the goal line, when that kid Justin Herbert's got first and goal at the four with 3 minutes to go in the game, you got to get a touchdown. I mean, that guy can make a field goal from 60 yards out. I mean, that thing wasn't good from 58. That thing was good from 68.
We just had him on the show. He said he could have gone up to 70.
I know. I mean, I know you had him on the show. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a guy. He looked like Tiger Woods' one iron the way he was hitting that ball, didn't it?
Yeah, he said he was good from 70 in warm-ups off a stick, which means without a holder or whatever. That's just like a thing. He said 67 snap hold kick. And by the way, Chargers know that too. Like, they see him doing that in warm-ups, and they tell, like, hey, just want to let you know, Bucker's good from like 95 yards today, it feels like.
Right, and that's a great point, Pat. So if you're Anthony Lynn and you're standing on the sideline and the ball's on the four-yard line, and you got to tell your guy, look, this guy just made a 58-yarder, and we know it was good from 65. So if we don't score a touchdown here, the best we can hope for is overtime.
Michael, you're big on this. What do you think about Anthony Lynn? Was, I believe, punting on 4th-and-1?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, look, you know, it's great if you're playing the Minnesota Vikings, but I'm not giving the ball back to Mahomes in overtime. There's no chance, right?
No chance at all. All right, I heard the dog.
Hold on. There was a Twitter account that's called like Surrender or something like that. They called it like the most cowardly decision in the history of football or something like that. They did like an odds percentage.
I thought his play calling in the red zone in regulation, two direct runs and a third down pass would have made Bo Schembechler look bad, look mean. I mean, it was so conservative. And then the 4th-and-1. I mean, you're playing Patrick Mahomes. You got notes. Keenan Allen's expression on the sideline told us everything we needed to know.
1,000%. All right, let's get into the Monday Night Football game tonight. I got it at 5.5 earlier this morning. It's down to 4.5 now, I believe. Let's see what everyone thinks. Michael, we can start with you.
Everybody's going on. I mean, I think this line's going to end up going to 3.5 before too long. That's what my thing says here. A lot of money coming in late on the Raiders here.
Yeah, I'm seeing big money and sharp money on the Raiders
side.
Same.
I mean, I'm not recommended. That's if I had to pick one. I forgot. Who did I pick for my survivor pool?
You took, I believe,
Niners.
Niners. Yeah, you're good.
Lock.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So I get to live another week.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
do. So you're not taking tonight, but you're potentially leaning Raiders.
I would lean towards the Raiders. Yeah. I didn't think the Saints played good last week.
No.
I think the Raiders are bad on defense. I'm surprised the under opened at 51.5 and it's down to 48.5. I was expecting this game, but I think it's coming down because they think both teams are going to run the ball and reduce the game. So I think that's why that under is coming down.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I'm seeing sharp money and big money on the under. That's probably why. That's why the move happened.
Yep. Yep.
Where are you guys seeing this at? Like, what is this? You have this magical, is it a group text, like all the sharp money?
Well, yeah, Billy Walter texts us and tells us what.
You could see it on the way the tickets. I mean, this game's got 5,800 tickets written up on it. It'll go to 10,000 before this thing's over. And a lot of Raiders only have 36% of the tickets, and they got 51% of the money. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty strong.
So right now the Raiders are at +4.5, -120 on FanDuel, which means that thing's about to move right now, at least a 4.
Right.
Yeah, and it started at 5.5. I got it at 5.5 this morning. So I feel pretty good about the Raiders tonight. I'm definitely going to make that an actual pick for tonight for the Raiders.
Yeah, me too. I just bet it. I like it just strictly because me and the other sharps out here, Gumpy, we like the thought of the Raiders opening their stadium. Gruden is going to be on 10 probably all night. New stadium, new image, Monday Night Football. Welcome back, John Gruden, to Monday Night Football. This feels like a Raiders win. Even though everything inside of me says the Saints are going to win this game by a lot, I'm taking the Raiders strictly because of what everybody else is saying.
I know Gumpy's taking the Saints, so why don't you tell us why you're taking the
Saints? I'll stand alone on this one, especially if it goes down to -4 or -3.5. The Saints are surprisingly good on the road, 4-0 against the spread. Their last four is road favorites. And I'm just not sold on the Raiders just yet.
Son of a
Michael.
Oh, I'm with you on the Raiders. I think their defense is not very good. I mean, they gave up 30 to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm with you. I just think, to me, that Gruden will be on his game today. You know, Gruden, when he was an assistant at Philadelphia, we hired Sean Payton to be basically his gopher. So these two guys know each other going back to 1997 is when Sean had just got fired at the University of Illinois. He just took a job at Miami of Ohio. He took a job at University of Maryland. And as the moving vans were going to Maryland, we got him hired at Philadelphia. And so they've known each other. So there's a lot of understanding between these two guys. And Sean's different than John, way different than John in terms of how he calls a game. But John can call a good game, especially when he can run the ball.
Michael, what do you think about Michael Thomas being out tonight? What kind of difference does that make?
I think obviously it hurts, but look, I don't think the Raiders have any corners that can cover. I think Emmanuel Sanders will have a good day. I think the Raiders have a twofold problem. They can't rush very well. Max Crosby's a nice guy, Arden Key, all that stuff, but they don't rush very well. And because they don't rush very good, their coverage guys are not great. Arnett hasn't played well all year. I don't think they're going to cover very good tonight against any Saint receiver.
Oh, you mean their number 5 overall pick that they used last year on someone that shouldn't have gone that high isn't working out?
Whoa.
I mean, like, the Raiders, who were the king of the 40-yard dash, took a guy who never ran a 40. I mean, Al Davis would have just, I mean, literally, there would have been hell to pay on that one.
How do they have enough money to build this stadium they have out there? I mean,
I think they got the city involved. I mean, you got it. Mark Bedane, the president of the Raiders, put this deal together. You got to take your hat off to him. I mean, the NFL did not want the Raiders in Los Angeles. They basically put the Chargers and the Rams together, and they told the Raiders, you deal with it on your own, and they got the best deal of all. I mean, Vegas, once we get through this pandemic, is going to be an unbelievable Sunday venue for football.
Did you always know that Vegas was going to be a home for an NFL team? Everybody always floated Los Angeles. I think Irsay even got like a helicopter to fly over Los Angeles when they were negotiating for a new stadium here. Was Las Vegas always a place, or was that kind of forbidden due to the sports gambling world?
You know, I think it started to open up when hockey went in there. And Al Davis used to always have his birthday parties in that town. And that was always an attraction there. And I think it was just prime for the taking. I mean, San Antonio was talking about getting an NFL team for years. But Vegas, I mean, they have to have one. Because, look, the one thing about Vegas, there's a lot of retired people, community, a lot of sports fans. They have different rooting interests. That place will be packed no matter whether the Raiders are good or not. Half the stadium will be filled with the opponent's team fans.
Yeah, because, hey, let's go take a trip out to Vegas. We'll see the Steelers play, and then we'll fly back the next day.
There'll be more terrible towels if they ever play out there than you ever could imagine.
All right, Michael, before we get out of here today, we were talking about a little before the show. Let's do a little bit of look-ahead lines at week 3. I know you were talking about a few that you're looking at early. What are they?
Well, I don't understand how Tennessee is just – it opened at 1.5. Now it's up to 2.5 against Minnesota.
Yep.
And you mentioned Anthony Barr's out for the year, so that to me was one that jumped off that I didn't understand that at all. The Steelers opened up 5.5, and now it's down to 3.5 against the Texans. That's significant. I mean, that just and then Buffalo opened 3 against the Rams, and it's already down to 2. And now these lines are moving, and most of these games don't have 500 tickets put in on them.
Nope.
So if you're listening to this on Monday, there is some real opportunity to get good numbers because they tend to shift. Like, Tampa's a 6-point favorite in Denver. Driscoll's going to be the quarterback, so you know that. And Arizona was opened at 6.5 and immediately got bet down to 6. So you got to pay attention to these lines. Now, the Jets, they're 10-point. They opened at 9.5-point dog to the Colts. It went to 10.5. Now it's back to 10.
Do we think the Texans are that bad, Mike, or they've just been up against really good competition?
I think when they lose Will Fuller, their offense falls apart. They lost Will Fuller in the second quarter. They looked horrible after he went out. But that, you know, the other team that I thought was interesting, Chicago, is a 3.5-point dog to Atlanta.
That's absurd.
I came across this stat this morning. Over the last 4 seasons, teams that start 0-2 against the spread are 22-7 against the spread in week 3.
Really?
It's because of public things. That's because the public's tired of losing against them, so they go the other way. Michael, you just talked about the Bears being 3.5-point dogs against the Falcons. Am I an idiot to want to take the Falcons right now?
No, I mean, that one, like what I always do on my note card is I always put out the games that initially jump out to me, and then I go back at the end of the week and decide what I want to go with. And last week when I looked at my card, I had Miami I liked at 5.5. Mm-hmm. I had Denver I liked getting the points. I had the who else did I have? I had the Brownies, which I would have lost, and I had Houston. Those were the ones that jumped out to me.
And then are the 49ers injuries enough that they should only be 3.5-point favorites at the Giants?
I don't think so, because I don't think the Giants are really poor offensively and defensively. You know, now I think they like Nick Mullins, and when Nick Mullins gets a week of work, I wouldn't be surprised. But here's what worries me, that when they don't have that pass rush, their secondary is really not very good.
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they signed Ziggy Ansah today. I don't know how much he's going to be able to bring to them this week, but you would think they'd still be able to get some sort of pass rush if they get some of their guys back this weekend.
The Giants look so bad. I mean, now without Barkley, whether they signed Freeman or not, you know, they're running the 1995-96 North Turner offense in New York, and it's getting killed. Just telling you, it's getting killed.
And Saquon's out, obviously.
Yeah, should do a new segment here. What bets did you put in during the show?
Yeah, so this is what I just did. This is an expensive show. I just put in the I put in a parlay there, just because you like the numbers. I put in Tampa -6 and Pittsburgh -3.5 as a parlay at +257 odds there. I put in the Niners -3.5, even though I don't love it, but just because of this show. And then I put in Raiders +4.5 this evening, even though I don't love it, strictly because this show is an expensive one. And while I sit here and I'm on the app, I'm playing the FanDuel, I'm enjoying the FanDuel, I'm hearing a very smart human talk about this, multiple smart humans, and then I hear these trends from Gumpy, it's like, hey, let's go ahead and pull the trigger now, because if not now, then when? If not me, then who?
This is a good.
That's right.
This is a good teaching
Gumpy,
moment.
Who qualifies for your 22-7 stat this week?
I haven't really dove into it yet, Mike.
You can take the reservation. You just can't hold the reservation.
And that was a good teaching moment.
The other game that I think is interesting is Detroit's a 6.5-point dog out at Arizona.
Yeah. They're going to be up 10 at some point. They'll be up 10.
That line's going to move.
It's going to get bigger, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Think so, too.
Cards are flying. Murray's on a different level right now.
Oh, so I should bet the Cardinals right now, you're saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think you got to see where that line goes, but Murray's so fast and the Lions' defense is so slow, you got to worry about that matchup. Now, last year they were out there, it was 24-6 going in the fourth quarter, and of course they went to overtime and they lost and they tied in overtime last year. So these teams, based on that game a year ago, 18 games ago, are trending in different directions.
Yeah, they are very much trending in different directions. And like I was saying, this is a teaching moment here. Just because there's a game tonight doesn't mean you have to bet on it. Pat doesn't ever take that.
Yeah, no. I'll be on ESPN2 tonight, by the way. No big deal.
What?
No big deal.
When are you going on the road? Are you doing college games this week now that it's back in fold?
No, they have me sit at this studio right over here.
What are you doing on ESPN2 tonight?
It's a mega cast with Reese and Kirk Herbstreit during the game. They said I'll be on around 10:25. They said 10:25. Peyton Manning's going to be on there. Luke Bryan's going to be on there.
Oh, it's a nice, like a college, like a national championship mega cast.
Yeah, I think they'll have the game on with us kind of our heads bopping around the outside or whatever. I'm coming in hot, though. Drew Brees and the Raiders. I got stories.
All right, everyone. We can't thank you enough for...
Hey, let's kill the Bach this weekend.
Let's kill the Bach this weekend.
Hammer down on the Bach this weekend.
Michael's leading the Raiders.
I'm all for it.
Michael's leaning the Raiders, but doesn't like it enough to take it. I'm taking the Raiders. Gumpy's taking the Saints. And yes, Pat, sir. Are you leaning? You taking?
I would like this to not be on my official record.
I think that's fine.
I would like it to be known, though. College on game day, they have me make 3 picks each day, 4-2 currently.
Oh, is that good?
Is that good? I don't know.
I don't know. Is that good? That's what everybody asks everybody. Is that good? You know, I know it's better than Vegas Dave. I can promise you that.
Follow us on our socials at Hammer Don.
Send in your winners, too, to Instagram and Twitter. We'll repost them.
Yes, we will. Check us out there for all of our picks as well. Michael, can't thank you enough. Good luck tonight. We will see everyone Thursday.
All All right. Hey, bye-bye.
See you Thursday.
All right, my man. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to try to kill the buck.
It's a good guy. He's a quick hang-up, though.
Yeah, he's got shit to do.
He's got
film to watch. He's got lines to read.
You hate that you took the Raiders tonight.
I don't like it at all. For everything inside me says the Saints are just going to go ahead and do what they do to this team, but the Raiders surprised the hell out of everybody.
Well, we'll find out, and then we'll talk about it on Thursday. See you then.
Kill the buck!